This morning, we're going to be continuing our series through Worship God's Way, and we're going to be looking today at worship through giving. Now, when we talk about giving, many people often think immediately money. However, giving is about more than your pocketbook. It goes beyond that. And so this morning, when we're going to be in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 6 through 15. And by the way, notice that on YouVersion, there was a glitch, and it only showed verse 6 when I checked it. I updated it to say through verse 15, and it still showed me through verse 6. So hopefully for you, it shows 6 through 15, but this is why I'd recommend you bring your Bibles, because you're not limited by the glitches of technology. But we're going to be in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 6 through 15. And as we are looking at this text, we're going to see three things about giving. We're going to see the attitude of giving, we're going to see the source of giving, and we're going to see something that sometimes we don't truly spend time thinking about, the impact of giving. And so, before we read this text, let's have a word of prayer. God, I ask and I pray that you are glorified, honored, and blessed as we read your word to us that you gave to Paul. God, I ask you to teach us from your word. God, I ask you to please overcome any barriers, any hurdles, anything that we may try to build to keep us from hearing what you are telling us. Instead, God, tear those things down, break through them, so that we will receive what you are teaching us in your word, that we will be transformed by it, so that we can be more in your likeness, Christ. Jesus, thank you. Thank you for your guidance, your teaching, your strength. Thank you for your gift of salvation. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Beginning in verse 6 of chapter 9 in 2 Corinthians, Paul writes, "The point is this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each one must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that having all sufficiency in all things at all times, you may abound in every good work. As it is written, he has distributed freely, he has given to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. He who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way, to be generous in every way, which through us will produce thanksgiving to God. For the ministry of this service is not only supplying the needs of the saints, but is also overflowing in many thanksgivings to God. By their approval of this service, they will glorify God because of your submission that comes from your confession of the gospel of Christ and the generosity of your contribution for them and for all others, while they long for you and pray for you because of the surpassing grace of God upon you. Thanks be to God for his inexpressible gift." Now, a little context to this. Paul has been going around to different churches, raising money to support missions and support Christians throughout the area. And he's saying, basically, thank you for your contribution. Thank you for giving. But he does this in a way that teaches us about giving. And we're going to see, like I said, the attitude, the source, and the impact. But we begin in verses 6 through 7 by seeing the attitude of giving generously. Now, what does he say? He begins in verse 6 with the principle. And he says, the point is this. Now, point from what? Well, first 5 verses of chapter 9, and actually about the last half of chapter 8. The point is this. Whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Now, a bit of a side note here. You may hear people, especially in the prosperity gospel, who will take this verse and misapply it and misuse it and tell you that this verse teaches that if you give to God, you will become somehow more prosperous and wealthy and so forth. That's not what this verse is about. This verse is not about your personal income or your personal prosperity. Instead, when you look at this verse in the context, it's about kingdom work. It's about impacting the kingdom. It's about the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so, what is he saying in this principle? What he's saying is this: we reap in ministry what we sow into ministry. In other words, you will get out of a ministry what you put into it. Don't put anything into it. Nothing will come out of it. It's about kingdom growth. It's about kingdom impact. And so to sow into the ministry, or not ministry, sow into the kingdom, what does that mean? It means to give to kingdom work. It means to support kingdom work. It means to look at where the gospel is being known and shown and shared, where people are being discipled, where the gospel is being proclaimed, where people are being taken care of and their needs are being met, and saying, I want to support and help out with that. I want to give to that. That is what it means to sow into the kingdom. To reap in the kingdom, or to reap kingdom growth, what that means is that people are being discipled. That means that needs are being met. Social ministry is going on. It means that the gospel is being proclaimed. And when we sow into God's kingdom, when we sow into the gospel, this is the fruit that comes out of it. And we're going to see that idea come up in a little bit in verse 10. But the idea is in verse 6, when he talks about sowing and reaping, he's talking about the kingdom. He's talking about the gospel. And so he begins with this principle, knowing this principle that we get out of ministry, we reap the fruit of ministry when we sow into ministry. He then goes in verse 7 specifically into the attitude that we're to have. What does he say in verse 7? Each one must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly. I want to pause there. What does he mean that each one must give as he's decided in his heart, not reluctantly? What that means is that as a Christian, you decide how much you're going to give. However, we're to give generously. You decide how much to give. You should give freely. You should give generously. Why? Because you love Jesus. Because giving is an act of worship. Now, you notice I have not said yet what to give, because we're going to get to that in a little bit. But we're dealing right now with the attitude of giving. You and I, we have the liberty under Jesus Christ to decide how much we're going to give. But he says also this: not under compulsion. There in verse 7, not under compulsion. He says not reluctantly or under compulsion. What does he mean by not under compulsion? This is a reference to two things. One, he's telling the Corinthian believers, I'm not here to browbeat you to get a specific amount. But also, he's referencing the Old Testament law, which, if you add it all up, was about 23 to 26% given. But he's saying, you are not under that Old Testament law anymore. You are not under that obligation. So when you give, you don't give because you have to give. You give because I want to give. You give because you love Jesus. You give because you want to glorify God. You give because you believe that that ministry is promoting Jesus Christ. You believe that ministry is helping people know Jesus Christ. You believe that ministry is helping people serve one another. And you believe that ministry is helping people hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. And you give because you love Jesus so much that you're willing to say, I'm going to give to God. And it's an act of worship. It's an act of love. Not because you have to, but because you want to. But then, he ends it this way, at the end of verse 7. The reason for all of what he said. Why? God loves a cheerful giver. God loves someone who gives because they do so gladly. They give because they want to. They give because they love Jesus Christ. They give because they want the gospel to go out. They give and they give generously of their own free will. And by the way, a cheerful giver doesn't withhold what they know they can give. If we know that we can give something, but we choose not to, then we're serving ourselves and worshiping ourselves and not worshiping God. If we can give, we should give. Why? Because giving is an act of worship, an act of love, and our attitude toward giving should reflect that. What is your attitude toward giving? What are your emotions saying right now? Well, our attitude should be that of a cheerful giver who freely gives, decides to give, wants to give because they love Jesus and gives generously and gives freely. But not only does he deal with the attitude of giving, he also, in verses 8 through 11, looks at the source of giving generously. Now, what does he say here? He begins in, well, I say begins because it's verses 8 through 10, so kind of really most of them. But in 8 through 10, he teaches us where the source of what we give is, or who the source of what we give is. And by the way, this is the section that we deal with what we give. We've already dealt with the attitude, our approach to giving. Now we're going to deal with what we're giving. But where do we get the things that we give? He says this in verses 8 through 10. He says in verse 8 that God makes all grace abound, that God gives all sufficiency. In verse 9, he says that God distributed and that God has given. In verse 10, he says that God supplies seed. What this means is that the source of what we give is God himself. How many times have you heard someone say, "This is what I accumulated, what I obtained on my own"? You may have worked for it, but ultimately it came from God. God is the source of everything we have, and we should never forget that. God owns 100% of everything. He just allows us to have some things. And he gives them to us for a purpose, and we'll get to that in a minute. Well, in a few minutes. But the source, Scripture is teaching us, is that is God himself. And the things that he gives us are resources from the source. And he gives us one, two, or all three types of resources. They're known as the three T's. You may have heard, if you've been here enough times, you may have heard me mention those. If you're, by the way, I got these from Tony Evans, and I've heard other people use them too. It's a great, I don't know if he came up with it, but it's a great way of summarizing it. The three T's. God gives us time, which means the ability to volunteer, the ability to participate, the ability to get involved. He gives us time. Some people have more time than others, but he gives time. But God also gives talents. These are abilities, skills, spiritual gifts, knowledge that you may have. God gives talents. Some people have more talents than others. Some people have different talents, but he gives talents. But also, God gives treasures. This is finances and material possessions. Some people have more than others. But God gives time, talents, and treasures. And it is from these things that we give to God. Why? He is the source of it. He's the one that gives us these things. And we give back to him from these things. Why? Because our attitude, it says, I want to give. I love God and I'm going to give. Because God has given to me. In fact, we have in here how God has given. It says in verse 9, God has distributed freely, given to the poor. God has given to us freely. We should also give freely. And by the way, the greatest gift that God gave freely was God himself. Jesus Christ, God the Son, could have stayed up in heaven. He could have stayed up there, up in glory, But he willingly humbled himself, became fully man while still being fully God. And he did something that he did not have to do. He paid the penalty for the sins that you and I commit. The penalty that we owe. God did this freely. We cannot outgive God. Nothing in this world that we could ever give will ever outgive God. God gives freely. And that's the greatest gift that he gave. But he also gives us some things that we can give back. Time, talents, and treasures. But we know that he's the source, and the things that he gives us, the three T's, I'll call them, those are the resources. But why does he give us these things? Verses 10 and 11. He who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way to be generous in every way, which through us will produce thanksgiving to God. And so in verse 10, he talks about multiplying your seed. And in verse 11, he says that we will be enriched. For what purpose? Check this out. To be generous. God gives us time, talents, and treasures, not so that we can keep it for ourselves, and oh, so often we do that. So often we see someone that has a tremendous talent. I remember as a teenager asking the youth leader about this one popular lead singer of a band. This individual had sheer raw talent. And I asked the youth leader, is this from God? Did God give this singer this ability? Because they're in a secular band using it to enrich himself, and that was it. And the youth leader said, yes, God gave that singer that talent, but that singer is using that talent for himself, not for God. God gives us time. God gives us talents. God gives us treasures so that we can be generous with them and give them out so that others can discover, hear, learn, and grow in Jesus Christ. We are not given the things that we have so that we can keep it for ourselves. Yet there are many people who are fully able to give, but choose not to. There are many who know to give, but again, choose not to. Why? It's not convenient. I can't take time out of my schedule. I have things going on in my life. Well, don't we all? God's trying to run a whole universe. You think he's a little busy? I say that tongue-in-cheek. We're all busy. But if we have the ability to give and we choose not to, we're being selfish and greedy, and we're not saying, I worship God. Instead, we're looking in the mirror and saying, I worship me. Imagine what it would be like if God withheld resources from you. But God gives us the resources so that we can turn around and give them. For what purpose? Kingdom growth, kingdom impact, the gospel of Jesus Christ. The three T's are given for kingdom work. And the blessings that God has given us in time, talents, and treasures, the blessings that God has given us, we should give back to God, because that which God has blessed us with is meant to be shared for his purposes. And yet, many don't. In fact, in Luke chapter 12, verses 13 to 21, Jesus tells a story about an individual who has the ability to give, but chooses not to. And Jesus says of this person, and this is his word, not mine. Jesus says of that person, he's a fool. Again, Luke chapter 12, 13 to 21, if you want to look that up. By the way, you can also find that sermon online. But we should use what God has given us to help others, to support the ministry. You know, as I was reading this text and thinking about things, I thought about a farmer. Maybe a farmer up in Iowa or Nebraska or someplace in some in the Midwest or Ohio or somewhere. But this farmer, he has a very successful farm, growing lots of crops. He has year after year after year of abundant crops, plenty of food for his family and many others. But this farmer, despite his ability and what God has blessed him with, chooses to keep it for himself. He takes the part that he needs for his family, feeds his family, but the rest of it he either puts in storage and for whatever reason, or simply lets it go to waste and lets it sit there. Well, he goes into town. And as he's doing some shopping for his farm, he sees a mother and her two children sitting there on the sidewalk, hungry. They have no food. But this farmer's, he's flush in food. God's blessed him abundantly. But this farmer looks at this mother and the two children and says, "Yep, tough on you." And he goes about his business, gives nothing. Well, a few years pass, and a drought hits. And we've seen a drought in America. You may have remembered, I believe it was the 1920s, the Dust Bowl that hit this country. Severe drought. Well, this farmer has a severe drought, and those abundant crops are gone. And now this farmer, he himself has no food for his family. So he goes into town, this time not to go shopping, but he goes into town to ask others for help. And as he's asking for people to give to him so that he can feed his own children, he sees this same mother that he saw just a couple years ago, and he sees her children. But this time they have food to eat. He goes to them, knowing they have food to eat, but now he has nothing. And he looks at her and says, "Ma'am, my children are hungry. Could you please spare some food? Could you please give us something to eat?" This woman looks at this farmer, recognizes him. I want to ask, what would incline this woman to give this farmer any food? We have been blessed by God as our source with time, talents, and treasures. Some people have only one of those. Some people have two. Some people have all three. But each of us has time, talents, or treasures, or a combination thereof. God has blessed us with it. God has given it to us. It is from Him. He is the source. And what we do with the resource is we either hoard it for ourselves or we give it for God's work. What are we doing with stuff that He has given us? How do we give of our time? Volunteer. Take some time to show up and help others. Get active in church. Work and serve in a ministry. If you have time, please do that. If you have talents, if you have an ability, if you can teach, mentor someone. The school, I know, could use some help. If you have a skill or a spiritual gift, use it for God's work. If you can play an instrument, we could use that. If you have the gift of evangelism, go share the gospel. If you have the gift of administration, find a way to use it. If you have knowledge about the scriptures that you can share with others, share it. Use your talents for His kingdom work. If you have treasures, finances, material goods, give of that to support ministry, to support God's gospel work. We should give. Our attitude should be that of a cheerful giver, recognizing that He is the source. But then in verses 12 to 15. Paul moves from the attitude and the source. Now he looks at the thing that we sometimes forget to consider, the impact of our giving. The impact of our giving. What's he say? In the first part of verse 12, we have the first impact. He says, for the ministry of this service is not only supplying the needs of the saints. What does that teach us? This teaches us that when we give, we are helping supply for ministry needs. When we give, it helps provide the financial resources. When we give, it helps provide the human resources, the workers. When we give, it helps provide the materials that we need that can all be used for His glory, for His kingdom, to help us grow in our faith, to help us serve one another, and to help us share the gospel. When we give, ministry is sustained and grows. Why? Because a church or a ministry can pay bills, can hire staff, can purchase materials. When we give generously and give freely, as Scripture teaches us, that means we have the human resources, we have the leaders, we have the teachers, and so disciples can be taught and trained. When we give freely and we give generously, physical needs can be met because the ministry has the materials to give out to those in need. And by the way, this lesson is not only for individuals. It's for a church as well. As a church as a whole, we too must live by what Scripture says. As God has blessed us, we must then bless those around us. We should not keep it for ourselves, for our own glory and our own exaltation. We should use it for the kingdom work, for His glory, for His mission, and for His praise. However, while ministry is sustained and grows when people give, ministry stumbles and struggles when people don't give. Now, I don't know about you. Anybody in here ever heard of the phrase turf toe? I encountered that more recently because, you know, I'm a Buffalo Bills fan and one of the Buffalo Bills players hurt his little toe. But those of you who may not be familiar with turf toe, it's when the little toe or one of the toes gets injured. Now, for those of you who are not big into sports, ever stubbed your little toe on a piece of furniture? That hurts. But the little toe is like what, this big? I mean, it's tiny. However, when that little toe is hurt, the entire body is impacted. Some of you may be thinking, well, if I don't give my little bit of time or my little bit of talent or my little bit of treasure, it's not going to have an impact. When we do not give, it impacts the entire body. It impacts the entire thing. Just like our little toe, as small as it is, will impact us. And we can even go smaller than that. Ever had a kidney stone? Oh, they hurt. They're debilitating. And they can get you hospitalized. It's not a matter of, well, it's not a lot. No, it has an impact. What may be small to you may be big to others. So don't look at it from the aspect of the amount. Look at it from the aspect of, am I giving to God because I love Him? Or am I keeping it for myself because I love me more? But so the impact, the first one he deals with is that giving supplies ministry needs, supplying the needs of the saints. But then in the second half of verse 12 through verse 15, we also see that it encourages believers. I'll bet you never thought of that. Because it's easy to say, well, I can see how giving will help in this way or that way on a physical realm. You know, I can see it through money and resources and so forth. But I'll bet you never thought about the impact it has on people, on believers. Giving freely, giving generously impacts the believers. What does he say in verses 12b through 15? He says this. Now, I'm going to begin at the beginning of verse 12. Otherwise, it will read very oddly. For the ministry of this service is not only supplying the needs of the saints, but is also overflowing in many thanksgivings to God. There we have impacting the believers. By their approval of this service, those who are receiving it are saying, basically, yay, praise God. They will glorify God, there you go, because of your submission that comes from what? Your confession of the gospel. If you believe it, you're living it. And what Paul's saying is, hey, those who are giving, you believe it, you're living it, and what's happening? The believers are praising God. They're encouraged, they're strengthened, they're edified, they're encouraged. And he continues, and the generosity of your contribution for them and for all others, while they long for you and pray for you because of the surpassing grace of God upon you. So what do we have going on here? I know I stopped at verse 14, come to 15 in a second. What's going on here? Giving leads to thanksgiving and praise. When people give, when a church is full of givers and the church itself is a giving church, what happens? There's more vibrant worship. Worship is just taken to a new level. And people individually start praising God, not because people are giving, but because he is being glorified by what's being given. People are transformed. Also, prayer increases. Why? Because people are praying, Lord, will you please provide? Will you please provide? Will you help send this? Will you help send that? And what do they see? They see that being fulfilled. God answering those prayers. And trust me, if people start seeing prayers being answered, people pray more. You want to impact someone's prayer life in this church? You want to impact the prayer life of this church? One, pray yourself. But two, give. But also, it encourages others. You see through these verses how the believers that are receiving this, the believers that are seeing these people give, what are they doing? They are lifted up. They're exalting God. They are just, their whole attitude has changed. They're impacted. They're encouraged. I'll put it this way. A giving church is a contagious church. Why? Because people look and say, hey, I can see what that church is doing. I can see that that church is helping people. I can see that that church is ministering to people. I can see that there are things going on in that church. I want to be like that church. But more importantly, they want to be like Jesus Christ, and we should point them to him. Always pointing them to him. A giving church is a contagious church. And so our giving has an impact. Yes, on the ministry needs, on the ministry resources, but also has an impact on people. Has an impact on those who are sitting right there beside you. Has an impact on those who may not be able to be here this morning. Has an impact on those who are visiting. Has an impact on individual hearts and minds. So today, I want us to think about giving in our own lives. First, I want to say that if you are giving generously and giving cheerfully, please keep doing it. But pray for the others. And by the way, how much or in what way you give, that's between you and God. Please don't tell others how much you give. It doesn't matter. That's between you and God. If you give 5% or 80%, that's between you and God. But do it cheerfully. Whether you give 5 hours or 5 minutes, do it cheerfully as an act of worship. But if you are giving right now, and you have been giving, please keep doing it. Pray for others and encourage others also to give. But if you're not giving, you need to reevaluate. Do you love God the way you say you do? Do you trust Him? I want to challenge each person this morning, today, whatever time it is, with this. I want each one of us to take a moment. I want you to think about the ways that God has blessed you in time, talents, or treasures, or a combination thereof. How that may be, you know. Others don't need to know, but you know. And this is not about looking around at others and saying, well, if they would, or they're not, that's not what it is. This is about looking in a mirror and saying, how has God blessed me in time? How has God blessed me in talents? How has God blessed me in treasures? And as you're thinking about that, ask yourself, am I cheerfully, generously, freely giving from that which God has freely given me? Or am I keeping it for myself?